Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Now Hebrews 4. Let's do it. Okay, last week we got into this. I'm not going to go back through it, but I want to hit on a couple things. Did I talk to you guys about Romans 14 last week? No. Okay, that's going to be an important thing. So basically, overview here, the Bible talks about the rest of God. And so in Hebrews chapter 3, that was introduced. And there is, actually, if you read in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, this is a quote from Psalm 95, and it says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation. And I said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." And then he says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And then it goes on and talks about the fact that these people could not enter the rest of God because of their sin. Okay, and then we get to chapter 4, and that's where we're at. Let's pray before we get into it, though. Father, Lord, we thank you for the time of worship. God, we thank you for the time of prayer. And Lord, now as we're getting in your word, we pray that you'd be speaking to us. Show us cool things in this passage. And Lord, help us to take these things, especially in this passage, and make them real in our own lives. And we ask that you do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so it brings up the whole issue of the rest of God in this passage. And one of the things that you have in the Old Testament is you have a number of things, number of places where it talks about God's rest. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, what Paul is doing is he's taking all of these pictures of rest in the Old Testament, and he's showing that those were not the fulfillment of the rest of God, but the fulfillment comes through a relationship with Jesus. And so one of the things that he talks about is the Sabbath. And so when you look in verse 4, it says, "For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience." Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day." Okay, so just as an overview again, basically what he's doing is he's talking about the people of Israel did not enter into the rest of God. And then he goes through and he talks about the different rests that are being spoken about. And so one of the rests that you have in the Old Testament is the rest that God had on the seventh day. That's in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. So he does the whole creation, 6 days, and then it says on the seventh day that God rested. And that was for basically an illustration of how life is supposed to go for mankind. You work 6 days, you labor for 6 days, and then on the seventh day you rest. That's reiterated when you get to the book of Exodus, in Exodus 20, in the Ten Commandments. So the fourth commandment is you're to keep the Sabbath day holy, and then it says, "For God worked, God labored for 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested." And so we are supposed to do that. Actually, the Jews are supposed to do that as a fulfillment of that picture. And so those are two places where the Sabbath is called the rest, Okay? And so one is God's rest on the seventh day in Genesis 2. And the other one is the commandment that the people of Israel were to rest on the seventh day also. Okay? One of the points that's being made in Hebrews 4 is that the people of Israel did not enter into the rest of God. Okay, now these people were keeping the Sabbath. And so for 40 years, they're going through the wilderness and they are keeping the Sabbath. Every seventh day, they're resting. Okay? And yet God says, I swore in my wrath they will not enter my rest. And the point that Paul's making here is the Sabbath is not the rest of God that's being spoken about here. And so they couldn't have entered God's rest by keeping the Sabbath, because God talks about the fact that they wouldn't enter his rest. And what he was talking about there is entering into the land of Canaan. So not only is it God's rest in Genesis 2 that's being spoken about, or God's rest as far as the Sabbath day, the fourth commandment that's being spoken about, it's also going into the land of Canaan. And so the land of Canaan was the rest of God that God said, you're not going in. And it was because that generation was disobedient to the Lord. And so basically they said, you're going to kill our children off here in the wilderness. And God said, you know what? Now it's going to be exactly the opposite. What's going to happen is you're going to die in the wilderness. Your children are going to go in. And so God swore in his wrath, they will not enter my rest. And then what Paul does is he makes the point that that rest was not the rest of God, because basically 500 years later, David lived right around 1000 BC. This is, you know, 1440 BC. Almost 500 years later, David comes along and he says, today, if you'll hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Otherwise, you're not going to enter into God's rest like he said these guys wouldn't. Okay? So what that tells you is going into Canaan was not the rest of God. So the rest of God is not God's rest on the Sabbath day, on the seventh day. The rest of God is not the Sabbath day itself. The rest of God is not going into Canaan. As he says in verse 8, if Joshua had given them rest, Joshua is the guy who led them into Canaan. If Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. And so Josh going into Canaan was not God's rest. And so there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. And you see that down in verse 10, or verse 9. I just quoted it. I didn't even know I was doing it. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God, verse 9. And then he says, this is what the rest is. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. So the rest of God is when I stop laboring and I start resting in the work that God did for me. That's the rest of God, okay? So the Sabbath is not the rest of God. Going into Canaan is not the rest of God. Whatever when David's speaking in the Psalms there is pointing forward to the rest of God. And the rest of God is when I stop working and Jesus is the one who's working in me. Verse 10 again, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent. See that word diligent there? It's the word for labor. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. And so without going back into the whole thing that we did last week, the thing that we are called to do is to labor to stop laboring. I need to labor to quit doing it myself. My labor is to stop relying upon my own works, my own abilities, my own discipline, and to depend on Him for the changes that are going to take place in my life. And that is labor. That is labor. That's a hard thing for me, because I'm a guy who makes a list and checks it twice and then makes myself nice. I'm that kind of guy. Just give me the rules. I can do the rules. I can make it happen. Just tell me what I need to know and it will get done here. And that's my attitude toward things. There's a passage in the book of Proverbs that says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so when you look at every religion on this planet, except for Christianity, Every religion on this planet is based on man working for God. I have to work to get into heaven. I have to do all these things. I have to be good enough. I have to be impressive enough. It's that kind of thing. And so, you know, the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path, for example, in Buddhism, in Hinduism, the whole karma thing, where I have to improve over multiple lifetimes to ever get to nirvana, and the whole Islamic thing. Islam teaches that you can't know if you're going to go to heaven or not, unless you blow up a bunch of people and then you get 77 virgins, you know, and that kind of thing. That's why you have guys that are doing that, actually, because otherwise they don't know if they're going to heaven. And so when you look at Christianity versus everything else, Christianity is not about man reaching out to God. Christianity is about God reaching out to man. And so last week we talked about Jesus is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. Jesus is the fulfillment of the rest that you see in Canaan. Jesus is the fulfillment of this rest that we're speaking about. Jesus is my Sabbath. And so on the Sabbath day, you stop laboring and you rest. And so Jesus, again, is the Sabbath day. One of the things that, again, people get into, and a lot of times it's aberrant Christianity gets into, is the whole thing with food laws and the whole thing with the Sabbath day. And so I've got family that are Seventh-day Adventist, and they're big into food laws and the Sabbath day. Actually, they go beyond the food laws, and they say that you're not supposed to eat anything but vegetables. And so got that whole situation, and they teach that the Sabbath day is something that's binding on Christians. And not only is it binding on Christians, if you worship on Sunday, you're doing the mark of the beast, is what Seventh-day Adventists teach. And so it just gets really weird. That's why I was asking you about Romans 14. Why don't you turn over there real quick? And we'll hit on this before I go to the rest of the chapter here. The premise with Seventh-day Adventists and other Sabbath keepers is that the Sabbath continues into the New Testament and that it's binding on Christians. And sometimes when you've got people who are Judaizers, basically, the Bible calls them Judaizers, they'll do the same thing with the food laws. And they'll say, okay, in the New Testament, you need to keep the Old Testament food laws, so no pork, no shellfish, that kind of thing, right? Okay, and so that's a possibility. That's what the case was in the Old Testament. And so when you get into the New Testament, that could be the case. Maybe we're supposed to keep the Sabbath day. Maybe we're supposed to do the food laws. You know, in Daniel chapter 1, where Daniel's in Babylon, and he has this whole thing with the chief of the guards, and he says, we don't want to eat the meat that you're bringing to us. We don't want to drink the wine that you're bringing to us. Can you just give us vegetables? King Jimmy, it says pulse. But can you just give us vegetables and water? And the chief of the guard says, I can't do that because if you skinny up here, then they're going to kill me. And so, you know, I'll be accountable for that whole thing. And Daniel says, just give us a period of time. I think it was 10 days. Just give us a period of time. And if we do lose weight, then we'll go and eat the king's food. But if we don't, can we continue doing this? Well, the reason that he's doing that is because he's eating kosher. And so it was okay to eat meat in Judaism, but it had to be slaughtered the right way. And it couldn't be offered to an idol. And what the Babylonians did was they would make sacrifices, and anytime they slaughtered an animal, they would make it a sacrifice to one of their gods. And so Daniel knows that the meat that they're bringing has been offered to a false god. And then on top of it, it hasn't been slaughtered correctly. It hasn't been bled the way that the Bible talks about. And so he doesn't want to eat the meat because he's under the food laws. And with the wine, it's the same kind of thing. They would do drink offerings. And so the wine that they would bring to these kids in Babylon was wine that was offered to the gods. And what they would do is they would take a cup of wine, they would spill it out on the ground before they drank it. And that was an offering to their gods. And then they would give the wine to these prisoners. And so Daniel's like, we don't want to eat the meat. We don't want to drink the wine. We'll just do water and vegetables. And then God intervened in that whole thing. And the guard came back and said, you know, you're better looking than all the other guys that are in here. And so Daniel got to go on eating that way. And the reason that he was doing that is because he's Jewish and he's keeping the food laws. Okay. So now we're in Romans 14. This is Paul talking. He says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day, what day would that be? Yeah, it's a Sabbath. That's what he's talking about. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself and no one dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And again, it goes on and continues talking about this whole deal with judging each other. Okay. Now, this is what I'm going to do with this. If Paul is a guy, he's a Jewish guy. If Paul is a guy who is keeping the food laws and he believes that you're supposed to continue to keep the food laws, is it okay to eat anything that you want to? What's the answer to that? No. You can't eat anything you want to. You have, if you're going to keep the food laws, you have to eat beef or lamb or goat that has been slaughtered correctly. You don't get to eat anything that you want to. You have to eat it right, okay? And so this whole thing with Paul looking at these people and saying, you know, one guy eats whatever he wants, the other guy eats only vegetables. The reason that they're eating only vegetables is because they're in Rome, and when you're in Rome and you go to the meat market to get the meat, that meat has been slaughtered at a temple to a false god, and it hasn't been bled correctly. It's not kosher. And so that guy is not going to eat from the meat market because it's not kosher. That's a guy who's eating kosher. And you can eat kosher by eating vegetables in a place like that. That's exactly what Daniel did. And so what Paul is saying here is don't judge each other, Christians, because some of you are going down to the meat market and you're eating whatever you want. And others of you have a conscience where you're like, I don't want to eat that because it may have been offered to idols. Stop judging each other over the whole thing. If the guy doesn't want to eat the meat, then he doesn't have to. And if the guy does want to eat the meat, then he's glorifying God and praying over it. So stop talking to each other about that. Is that okay if the food laws are binding? And the answer to that is no, that's not okay. God didn't say in the Old Testament, you keep these food laws unless, you know, you figure it out in your own conscience that you don't need to keep these food laws, and then it's okay not to keep the food laws. That is not what he said. Everybody had to keep them. And so now what you got is a guy here who is not keeping the food laws as binding. You can if you want, but if you don't want to, you don't have to. And then it's exactly the same thing with the Sabbath day. So when the Sabbath day was given, you know what happened the next day? A guy goes out on the Sabbath day, picks up a bunch of sticks. You know what God said to do with that guy? Execute him. You didn't keep the Sabbath day, you were executed. And so this guy, obviously, he's just thwarting the will of God in this situation. And when he did that, that's exactly what they did. They took him out and they stoned him. And that was the end of that. And everybody kept the Sabbath day from that point on. And so it says one esteems one day above another. Well, if you're doing that, what you're saying is Saturday is more important than every other day of the week, right? That's keeping the Sabbath. And then it says, another one esteems every day alike, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Well, that's not keeping the Sabbath day. And so again, you've got a situation where Paul the Apostle is not a food law keeper and he's not a Sabbath day keeper. Because if he was, he wouldn't say you have options here. You follow that? And so again, when you're looking at these things, the reason that one guy would esteem every day alike is because he realizes that the Sabbath is fulfilled in Jesus, and Jesus is my rest, and so it's every day that's my Sabbath. It's not just Saturday, it's every day. And the other guy is looking at the Sabbath day, and he still wants to do that whole thing and that kind of stuff, and if he wants to do that before the Lord, that's okay. And so again, when you're looking at food laws or when you're looking at the Sabbath day, it is okay to do those things according to the New Testament. As soon as you make it a religious requirement, you're wrong. As soon as you do that, you're wrong. But if you want to do that before God, I can keep the Passover if I want to. I can keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I can do all these things if I want to, but they are things that pointed forward to Jesus, and Jesus is the substance and those are the shadow. And so like on Sunday, we were talking about pictures of my family versus the reality when I come home. It would be dumb when I've got my wife standing in front of me to take out a picture of her on the camera on my phone and kiss the picture of her on my phone. That's dumb. I've got her right in front of me. I can smooch her, right? And so that, again, is the picture there. Okay, so Jesus is my Sabbath. Jesus is my rest. And so that's what Hebrews 4 is all about. Okay, so the way I get the rest of God is by recognizing that Jesus is a Sabbath and I need to be filled with him and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I need to, again, labor to enter that rest. And this is, again, you know, kind of a paradoxical thing. Laboring to enter rest is kind of weird. So literally is the idea of labor to stop laboring. So in the Old Testament, actually, I just read this in Ezekiel, the priests were not allowed to wear wool. And the reason that they weren't allowed to wear wool in the Old Testament is because wool makes you sweat. And God specifically said, I don't want anything that makes you sweat in my temple. And it's the idea of a man's works being something that they're dependent on. It always needs to be a resting in God. And so the only place where I'm called to sweat is in the area of not laboring. I need to stop it. And every time I have this inclination that I need to work, work, work for God, I need to stop it and recognize that it's Jesus who's supposed to be doing the work in me. And again, we talked about this and somewhat when we were doing the Q&A thing. When I'm looking at all the things that I do as a Christian, whether I'm reading my Bible, whether I'm praying, you know, it's like I can make prayer this just big, fat works trip where it's like, okay, I must pray today. Or I can pray without ceasing and I can ask God to call me into his presence. And it just becomes this natural thing where I'm having a talk with God. So every day on the way to work, it's 20 minutes from my house to church here, I got 20 minutes where I can either be continually irritated by the traffic and the ridiculous people who are all around me. And they just kind of congregate around me. I don't know what the deal is. But I can just be griping and moaning about all these people, or I can be listening to talk radio or something and getting ticked off at the government and everybody that's involved in it.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.